I'm so excited to share this series with you, and I'm learning so much as we're doing this together, you know, because it's important that we deal with the issues at hand. And so just to recap of what we've been doing so far, the first session we asked, how big is our God? We saw that God is perfect, He's good. The second session is, how did Jesus' relationship with the Father work out? And how was that intimacy between Him and the Father? And then the third thing is God's heart towards us. You know, the fact that God wants to be our friend. We've been made in the image of God. And then we looked in the fourth session on what does every child need from their father? And, you know, because the how you grow up in your natural home, that would reflect also in your perception or your culture towards God as your perfect Father. And so it's so exciting, but also challenging to sometimes deal with the issues of the past. So in this specific session, we're going to deal with the father wound. And we're going to take three sessions as we just unpack and unravel some of these things. Because remember, one of the first scriptures we read is that we want to walk in the ancient paths. We want to discover God's ways, God's redemptive purpose through Christ to set us free and to start a new blessing that will run down to the 10th generation. Because sometimes if we don't follow God's ways, a curse will come into our families and that will run down to the 10th generation. But we want God's blessing. And God said to Abraham, hey, I want in you all the families of the earth to be blessed. Isn't that amazing when you can walk free from those things? And so in these specific three sessions, sessions 5, 6, and 7, we're going to cover three things. And especially when we look today at the father wound, we're going to look at the first one is, what will cause a father wound? Why do we talk about this thing of the father wound? What are the causes of that? And then there are four roots of a father wound, the fruits of a father wound, and then also dealing with shame. So these are the things we will be covering in this specific three sessions. And then from there, we're going to look at the roots and how do we deal with it? How do we break free from that? And what is our identity in Christ? And then eventually, what does God want to restore us to? What is the family that He also wants to establish in your life and through your life? So it's never too late. It's just so exciting. And in your notes, there's a prayer to embrace the Father's heart. And I want to pray that prayer over us and for us to really discover God's heart before we start dealing with this issue of the father wound here in session number 5. So let's pray this together. Dear Father, please reveal yourself to me. I long to be free from the awful distortions of your character that plague me with doubts, fears, worries, and mistrust. Please expose every lie that I've believed about you and set me free with your truth so that I can worship you in spirit and in truth and come to you freely in prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. What a powerful prayer to pray. And so let's start with this issue of the father wound or woundedness. You know, in Proverbs 15 verse 13, it says, a merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of their heart, the spirit is broken. You know, many people have a broken spirit or a wounded spirit, and they don't even know that. And that's why sometimes, you know, if the pressure gets on, you know, then there's a lot of stuff that comes out. Anger, you know, violence. Stuff out of our mouths. And then many times people don't know where that come from, but it's because there's deep roots that God wants to deal with in our hearts, in our emotions, and He wants to set us free. You know, Jesus didn't just die for us to go to heaven. He came to set the captives free. He came to break the spirit of rejection and fear of failure and shame over us. And we're going to deal with some of those things and just look at it and trust that the Holy Spirit will heal us. Now remember, God is good. And because He's good, we can trust Him. And because of His goodness, we can say, Lord, You be the healer because You know the perfect person that You have created me in the Spirit. And so let's come to Him. He's the great physician. He's the healer. Let's trust Him for that. Proverbs 25 verse 28 says it, whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. You know, in the Old Testament, there's this beautiful picture of Nehemiah that rebuilt the walls. He was a cupbearer. He looked at what was happening around him and he started to weep because the city of Jerusalem that had these massive walls around it, the walls were all broken down. And that's sometimes a picture of our lives. You know, the enemy can just come in, the lies can come in. You know, there's just so much terrible stuff happening to us because we're not protected. We don't have safe boundaries. And there's a statement I made. It's here on your slides. It says, a wounded person will struggle to put proper physical, emotional, and spiritual boundaries in place. I remember one of the things that I struggled with was rejection. And before people could reject me, I would reject them. I would hurt so many people without actually knowing it. Because, hey, there was no walls. There was no proper boundaries. There's a guy, Cloud Townsend, that wrote a book called Boundaries. And I learned so much through that. Just healthy, emotional boundaries. Making sure people don't manipulate you. And making sure you don't manipulate them. Because it's so easy to do things like that. If you maybe just say yes, yes, yes to everything, it means you don't have a healthy boundary. But physically, we sometimes don't have boundaries with people. And then emotionally, sometimes we get soul ties with people or with things because we become dependent on those people. But we should never be dependent on other people, of what they say about us, what they think about us. We can only be dependent on God because God is our source. He's our maker, we should be interdependent with other people because that's where the church comes in. That's where we're broken people together. And hey, we're all broken. We're all wounded. But listen to these statements on the next slide. Broken people breed broken families, and broken families breed broken communities that breed broken nations. Some nations are wounded. Some nations, you just see the negativity, you see the fear, you see the anger coming out of just generations that has not followed God. You know, I remember traveling through a lot of African countries. And as we went from South Africa right up to the north, the one thing that really stood out for me was going through certain nations, and some never had a war. There was never fighting or killing, anger, fear, and destruction. And the people there were just much more joyous. You know, a nation like Malawi, beautiful people, just so encouraging, just such friendly people. And then you go to another nation like Angola, where there's been war, there's been a lot of stuff, there's been a lot of hurt. And especially if you go North Africa, you can almost see the destruction on the people of that nation. It's almost like the whole nation is broken and wounded, and they're responding to that fear. They just think, what can I get? What can I get? Instead of being a blessing to other people. You know, and so the same is with our own souls and with our own bodies. And that's why hurt people hurt people. And we need to understand that. Sometimes people hurt us because that's just their reaction. You know, it's almost like when you have a wound and somebody comes close to you, the first thing you want to do is you want to protect yourself. Don't touch that wound because you don't want to experience pain. And in that way, you react. And so many people, so many of us, sometimes live in reaction and not in response. And therefore, if you tell people, hey, take responsibility for your life, do something for God, they just go numb. There's just passivity. They just can't make decisions for their lives because they're actually hurt and broken. But the good news is Jesus died so that the oppressed can go free, so that there will be healing of the brokenhearted. Some people's hearts are shattered, are broken. And that's why we're doing this Our Father series, so that we can ask the Lord to heal us. What are some of those words? Maybe you can identify with some of these words. You know, let's just read through this list. You will never make it. You will never amount to anything. You're a mistake, a failure, an idiot. You're ugly and unwanted. You don't matter or count. You should not be here. You will never make any difference. You're illegitimate. You are just a burden to us as a family. You are always in the way. Your brother or sister is our favorite or much better. Or you are stupid. Now, these are very simple words, but you know, they're like, they can hurt or break somebody, you know. And sometimes, especially if you grew up in a negative environment where there's just negativity and words, you know, words can kill one emotionally. And so we grow up in these environments. And so we need to ask and look at our lives and the homes where we grew up, and not being critical or negative, because remember, nobody's perfect. We live in a broken world. And the only perfect world we live in is when we get to heaven, where there's a perfect Father, perfect Jesus, and we're going to worship Him, you know. There's no negativity. There's no darkness. Have you thought about that? That there is no darkness in God. God cannot lie. God cannot think bad words. He cannot swear. He cannot change. That's amazing. That's why we can trust God. And trust is a huge issue when we deal with these things, because sometimes we grow up, you know, I grew up in a home environment where, sure, there were a lot of things that were happening, you know, and one of those things, and I will be sharing some of those personal things, you know, was that my grandfather wasn't faithful to my grandmother, and eventually they divorced. And all I knew is that they were going to get divorced. But I only found out later, you know, many years later, the reasons for their divorce. But I could sense the tension in the home, you know, and don't ever think that the kids don't know. They know when there's a tension between mom and dad. You can fight behind a closed door, but if there's an environment where there's not peace, God's love, the kids pick it up. You cannot hide from the kids, you know. And so I grew up in this environment, you know, a typical Afrikaans environment where there's a lot of suspicion. There's a lot of performance. There's a lot of ways we react. And we're going to talk about that specifically in the coming sessions, you know, especially when you talk about rejection and you talk about shame and all these things. So the question in this specific session then is, what will cause a father wound? What will cause a father wound? What is the type of environment if we grow up in that? Because remember, a father gives primarily the love and the identity to a child, and especially between the age of 0 and 9. That's when a child's identity is mostly formed. And if you had a certain way of growing up, then it means that becomes your default, the way you think, the way you act, and eventually what you pass down. Because a lot of people, especially if they're not Christian, they don't know any better. That's just what they do. That's the role model. Or maybe they've grown up in 10 different homes. They never feel accepted. Because remember, we're looking for acceptance, affirmation, all those things that God wants to give to us. And if you don't get it in your home, you are going to look for it in another place. So there are 5 things here, 5 different types of fathers you can have grown up with. And maybe you don't have your natural father with you anymore, but maybe it's different. And so let's look at these: an absent father, an abusive father, a passive father, a loving father, and then a perfect father, which is God. Only God fits the number 5. But we're going to look at the first 3 specifically and trust the Lord to identify certain environments that we grew up in. Remember, there's no perfection, and we're not doing this to be critical to our homes. We need to love, and we need to learn to forgive, because we're not perfect, you know. The moment when we just judge all the time, and then we're going to get into trouble. So the first thing is an absent father. And an absent father is simply a father that was never there. A father that was there, but he was never involved. And then especially when the mother took the role of the father. The father, and we're going to look at that right in the last session, what's the role of the father? Is a priest, a prophet, a king in the home? Father should lead spiritually. A father should protect and secure. A father should be involved in the children's lives emotionally, and especially in their identity. There are going to be phases where mom is more involved. But if your father was completely absent because of a divorced home or a divided home, you can actually walk around with woundedness or spiritual scars, because there's been no affirmation in critical times. You know what the Jews did, especially when you were a son and you turned 13, also girls got the same, but there was a rite of passage, a ritual, which they call the bar mitzvah, you know. And what would happen is, it's beautiful, when a son was 13 years old, the father would call all of the friends of the community and all the men that were involved in the community. And then on the one side was all the ladies standing there, and especially the mother. And then the boy would stand with the mother, and then he would call him over and say, "Come from your mother, we call you to be a man." And then you go and stand with all the men. And then the father would actually pick up, if it was possible, the son on his shoulders and with these other men. And then the father would walk around in the room and say, "This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased." Remember those words? It was the same words that God the Father said to Jesus when he got baptized. Because we don't know what happened to Jesus' personal father. We think he died when he was very young. And so Jesus had a sense of illegitimacy on his life. He grew up as the one that was born out of wedlock. So there was a lot of labels on Jesus. And yet the Father stopped everything and said, "This is my son. I'm well pleased in him." Yeah, it's beautiful words that will set us free, and beautiful words that will break the yoke of slavery over our lives. So an absent father, but especially, there's a lack then. There's a vacuum where there wasn't perfect and specific affirmation in specific times over your lives. And so this is what why the Jewish culture is so healthy, because there was a ritual, and the father would affirm the son in front of all the other men. And then many times that son will be part of the business deals from when he was 13 years old. And I want to encourage you, if you're a father here, or if you're going to be a father, do that with your children. Do a rite of passage. Go and study it up what the Jews did, because we don't have a lot of beautiful things like that, but we should do it. And if you didn't have that affirmation, hey, that's what God also wants to give you. But the second thing is an abusive father. If there's been physical and verbal abuse, you know, where there's some almost like a fighting, critical, negative, shaming culture in your life, you know. Proverbs 18 verse 4 says, "The words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The wellspring of wisdom is a flowing brook," you know. So it's deep waters. It's like a deep well. It's either life. And Jesus referred to this many times. He says, hey, out of the heart, you know, you fling forth words. It's like you can destroy. So what is in that well? What is that place, that altar in your home? And God wants to restore you, especially if you've been physically or verbally abused. A lot of children get sexually abused when they're young, and it causes deep scars of shame, and we're going to talk about that. Proverbs 18 verse 7 says, "A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul," meaning that your lips, what you fling forth, can either be life-giving or it can be death and destruction. And if you've grown up in a home like that, you need healing, because you're going to always think like, oh, you know, what am I doing right? What am I doing wrong? I'm always, there's always such an insecurity. And if your life has been an environment of insecurity, God wants to heal you, because he is our rock. David said it, you know. Even David was he had such a troubling house and such a, you know, he says, I was born in illegitimacy. Yeah. He had so many challenges, and then with his own son, and yet he would say, God is my rock. God is my refuge. He's the one that I trust. The third type of environment is a very passive father, a father that is in the home, but it lacks integrity, he's not reliable, you know, he's got broken promises, always causes disappointment. It's that father that says, yes, yes, tomorrow we're going to do this. Yes, yes, we're going to get there, but never fulfills the promises. And that causes deep, deep woundedness in a child. And, you know, there's a scripture that says, hope deferred makes the heart grow sick. So if you have hope, but you lose hope, you know, and it's always like, no, next time. Eventually, you close your heart. And then what you do is you harden your heart. Once your heart has been closed, you begin to harden your heart. And then, we become destructive. We begin to just don't feel. Because you can see, you know, the stats even say it, that most men and prisons are full of men, not of women. Most men in prison, I think it's almost 80% in the world, comes out of a home where there's either been an abusive father or an absent father. So we live with a fatherless generation, and most of them just don't have that security. So what does a passive father also do? He's non-spiritual. You can even have the greatest loving father, but he's never been leading the home spiritually. Then there'll be a lack. He never leads or takes initiative. He's not a role model. You see, we as men have almost been emasculated by the society of the day that says, hey, you're not allowed to lead. Now, God has appointed us as leaders. It's just a different function in the home, you know, not in the world, in the home. In the home, the man must be the leader, you know, and it doesn't mean you're better or you can abuse your situation or manipulate or just say, hey, do this like this, you know, because I'm the boss. It's through servant leadership, of course. But you know, men is almost like insecure today. They don't know how to respond or how to live out their God-given roles anymore. And so it's so important that we go and identify the environment that we are and have grown up in. And especially if there's been generations of the same type of negative cultures, we can break that in Jesus' name. Because Jesus became a curse for us on the tree. He didn't just die to forgive us our sins, but actually to break the cycles that have been passed down through the generations. And this is so important that you stop and you begin to think through this, and especially as we deal in these sessions. And next session, we're going to deal with the root of rejection and the fear of failure. We're going to look at certain roots that are deeply embedded in our spirits and our emotions. And then we just ask, say, Lord, you are the healer. You know, you're the one that can set us free. You're the one that can break every yoke of slavery, because we become enslaved to our fears. We become enslaved to our past. We become slaves to the way we think about God, you know, and that's so amazing. That's why Jesus coming to the earth and living here and incarnating and showing us the heart of the Father is so amazing. But remember in what circumstance Jesus came into the world. It wasn't the best place. Nazareth, Galilee. Whoo. That's why they said, can anything good come out of Galilee? You know? So first, Jesus himself was born out of wedlock, you know, was born by the Holy Spirit. He was born in the wrong side of the country. You know, then he was a Jew, but there was just oppression by the Romans. You know, there were so many labels on him. And yet Jesus could live in this space of identifying with your and my need and our woundedness. And so not one person will one day be able to say to him, well, you cannot identify with what I went through. No, Jesus even said it, and the word says it, that no temptation would be too great or too strong. God can identify with that. And so we're going to end off this session by praying together and just looking at that task. Task number four is, firstly, identify the top one of these three types of father cultures that we've grown up, A, B, or C, that you can relate to the most with concerning your earthly father or your guardian father or maybe grandfather, somebody that you grew up with. And then go and take time to write a personal description of your past and current relationship with your earthly father. Sometimes we just need to jot it down. We need to write it down and be factual about what was that circumstance. Be real, be authentic, and then bring it to the Lord. Pray about it, you know. Say, Lord, come and heal me. Come and break this curse. Lord, I see it, but Lord, I know that you bring redemption. And I'm going to pray for us as we continue on this journey, that God will heal us and God will bring a freedom in our lives, and that you will become the next father and mother that God has called to bless the families of the earth. So let's pray together. Father, I want to thank you for this time. Thank you, Lord, that we can spend this time together and that we can sit under your word. You are the perfect Father, and we ask that you come and heal our woundedness. We don't want to hide our wounds anymore, Lord. We don't want to just react. We want you to do a deep work inside of us. So, Lord, that we can walk in liberty, because there where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And those who are Christ has come to set free is free indeed. Thank you, Lord, that we can be a blessing to the families of the earth. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.